It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
To my fellow Hall of Famers, I am so honored to wear this gold jacket. I wear it with pride, and I promise to respect all it represents as long as I live.
It's time to talk to NFL Hall of Famer Walter Jones.
Brought to you by Skagit Best Salsa Company, crafting gourmet fresh cilantro salsa with quality ingredients for more than 10 years.
Now, Walter Jones on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Hey, I want to thank Skagit's Best Salsa Company for sponsoring the Shindig with Walter Jones. And I'm telling you right now, if you have a need, whatever that need is for salsa, and you're not using Skagit's Best Salsa, you're doing it way wrong. Way wrong. Just buy this stuff at your local grocery store. You tell me if I'm wrong after you try Skagit's Best Salsa. You know what I was eating last night for dinner? Skagit's Best Salsa. Ask me what I was eating it with. Go ahead.
What were you eating it with?
Nothing. I was just eating it with a spoon. That's how good it is. I love this stuff. I want to bathe myself in Skagit's Best Salsa. That's an image you don't need. I know that. But try it at your local grocery store because this stuff is absolutely sensational. And speaking of sensational, our buddy Walter Jones. I'm seeing Walter Jones on TV doing commercials for a law firm. My God, this guy has blossomed. How are you, pal? What's going on?
I'm doing good, man. How you guys doing?
We are good. So take us back to the game on Sunday. Lots of stuff to talk about, but I first want to ask you about DK Metcalf getting that touchdown pass batted away by Diggs. Tell me what was going through your mind when you saw that happen in person on Sunday, man.
Just one of those young plays, players that make, you know, we got to realize that he's still in his second year in the league. And, you know, the way that he caught that, I guess he figured the guy had fell down or was not there for him to let up like that. But it's just a learning experience for him, and I guarantee you that'll never happen to him again. So, you know, we can all go back to plays where guys have done that, where they let up before they got across the end zone there. So he just have to learn from that and continue. You know, I know Russ was probably mad because he would have had 6 touchdowns instead of 5.
Well, Walt, on the offensive line, the Seahawks right now are top 5 in the NFL in pass block rate. They are winning at the line of scrimmage, which is something they have not done for much of Russell Wilson's career. Why do you think this newly formed offensive line is gelling after just 3 games?
I think they understand that if they can protect Russell, the things that Russell can do, and I kind of think the offense is definitely – catering around what Russell can do now. A lot of the crazy thing about what Russell is doing now is that he's doing it in the pocket. You know, he's making it easy for those guys because now this is the way that you practice. You practice with your quarterback in the pocket. And I think Russell is definitely making an effort to stay in the pocket and make plays out of the pocket. And I think that's definitely helping this offensive line where they're not trying to figure out if Russell's in the pocket or not in the pocket. So Russell, for the last few weeks, have done a great job of staying in the pocket and making plays down the field for those guys, and those guys are holding up pretty good with the protection.
Walter Jones with us. I saw Alden Smith give Dwayne Brown on certain occasions all he could handle at left tackle on that game on Sunday. And then I saw on the game-winning touchdown pass to DK Metcalf, Brandon Shell totally own him on that last play of the game for the Seahawks offense. What do you make of the way Brandon Shell's playing at right tackle, man?
I think it's amazing. Those guys that came in and, you know, especially with them being young guys. And, you know, I call them plug-and-play guys. These guys have definitely stood up and doing their job. And I think that's good. You have to take your hat off to Coach Solari with the work he's done here, you know, for the last couple of years with the offensive line. You know, this has been a topic for the last couple of years. But going into this season, we're not talking about the offensive line. I think that's a good thing. And that got to feel good for everybody that – the way that this offensive line and Shell is playing. You know, he's coming out there, he's competing every snap, and I think that's all you want him to do, to go out there and compete and try to get better every week. And once you get stuff on film, guys can definitely get better every week because now they're seeing themselves and they can correct their mistakes.
The position that worried me the most going into the season, Walt, on the offensive line was center. I was like, God, you got to sign Justin Britt back. Let's hope he's healthy. But, man, Ethan Posick has slid into that spot. He allowed zero pressures in that game on Sunday. What are you seeing from that youngster?
He's getting the job done. He's almost a quarterback on the team. You know, you're seeing him out there making plays, talking to Russell, and Russell's making checks, and he's pointing out the guys that he got. So he has to be the coach and the quarterback for the offensive line, because everybody have to know what he's doing and where he's going so they can set up their protection. So I think the thing about it, just sitting back and watching the way Britt play and how he plays with Russell, I think he fit in pretty good. And he's continuing, like I said, with all those guys. Those guys are competing, and they understand that, you know, seeing how these games are going now, that this offense got to be the leader every week now and going out there and putting up good numbers.
Walter Jones with us on the radio show. The red zone production by this offense and this quarterback is just asinine. Last year, Russell Wilson was barely over 41%, I think it was, in the red zone. This year, he was 49 last year. This year, he's at almost 92% inside the red zone. Can you give us, maybe from an offensive lineman's perspective, a thought on why this team has been so productive inside the 20?
I think it's all you got to take your hat off to the coaches. I think any offensive lineman, any offensive player understand, like, when coaches get inside the red zone, this is where you want to capitalize on points, getting points every time. And the way that this team and the way Russell is getting the ball in the end zone. We're not settling for field goals. We're getting the ball in the end zone. It's almost like every pass that Russell is throwing is almost in the end zone. So you have to take your hat off to Russell and the way that he's been so precise with the football and putting it where he needs to put the ball for those guys to make plays.
What would you have done if you saw your running back at the bottom of the pile get his leg purposely twisted like a pretzel right in front of your face? What would you have done to that defensive tackle?
I probably would have got a 15. I think anybody would. I don't know if any of the offensive linemen would see it at the time. You know, a lot of times you don't see that stuff. You're not right by the play. And, you know, you just saw guys have posted about it and said stuff on Twitter about it. And I think it just was a dirty play. But, you know, playing this game for so long, I have seen that tackle made, and guys do that all the time. I don't understand what that's about. Yep. The guy is down. But still, and again, I saw plays out there where defensive linemen are doing that too, where they are falling late on receivers or, you know, and I think they have to cut that stuff out because those guys are so vulnerable at that point there because he's giving up and this guy is still trying to – I don't know what he's trying to do to the running back at that point. And, you know, if I got a feeling if any of those offensive line would have saw that up close, I think they would have did something at that point. But I think all those guys missed it at that point. But, you know, we saw it on TV, and I thought it was dirty as soon as I saw it.
Who was the dirtiest player you played against in your career? You remember?
Dirty? Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know. I never had anybody do anything dirty. I haven't saw nothing like where – you felt like, okay, I've been kicked, you know, in the lower regions before, but I don't know if it was on purpose or, dirty, you know, it's football, so you never, you know, if a guy even do anything that you suspect that is dirty, you know, they'll fight it or say, no, I wasn't trying to do that. I had a guy one time, Mike Rucker, tried to fall on my wrist while I'm blocking him. So, you know, you have stuff like that, and we still talk to this day saying he didn't try to do that, but,
wow,
you know, he was trying to do that, you know, and I totally understand. When you're getting dumped on your head, you know, I guess you got to try to find ways to get me out the game.
How about Romanowski? You didn't play him much because he was in the AFC, but you got any battles with Romo?
You know, he was one of those tough guys, you know, always get in your face. You know, I think the only thing I can remember about Romo's was the time when he spit. I want to say that was against Denver where he spit in the guy. I think that's probably with any player, you know, if somebody, because you're so close to guys, so anytime anybody spit on you, now those are time to fight. So
yeah.
I think those things just can't happen in a game where guys are spitting on you or trying to do dirty stuff to you. It just can't happen in a game.
Yeah, it was J.J. Stokes. He spit in J.J. Stokes' face, I think, when J.J. was with San Francisco. But Walter Jones again is with us. All right, dude, so I asked you the same question last week. I'll ask you the same one. If you're an offensive lineman going up against this defensive line, how concerned are you with them? Because they're not doing much, obviously getting pressure on the quarterback. How freaked out should we be about this defense right now, man?
I think it's just going to get better as the season goes along. I think it's one of the things that everybody's – I think it's just not this defense. There's a lot of defenses out there are giving up points. And I think there's more, you know, with defenses, it's all about emotions. You know, I think offensive linemen and us, we have to be in control. But most of the time with defensive guys, they have to be a little out of control. So I think a lot of that comes with the way that the game is, you know, not used to fans. You hear guys talking about it's weird that fans are not there. And some guys are self-motivated, but some guys need that energy to play the game. So I think it's just a process. You got to think about now that, what, this is week three, going into week four. So now I look at it as the first month is a preseason where you kind of trying to figure out where are you good at. And, with Pete, I think he's going to figure out, you know, what his defense is good at. They really haven't shown, you can't really pinpoint where they're good at right now. But I think now that you got like three games on film, now you can kind of start trying to find ways to get these guys open and who's going to be your guy that you can try to make plays for that guy to at least try to get to the quarterback to kind of, you know, get those guys off the spot. Because right now they're not getting these quarterbacks off their spot. And with these quarterbacks in this league, if you let those guys sit back there in the pocket like that, they're going to throw the ball up and down the field.
Well, an optimist would say, hey, Walt, what about 3.0 yards per carry allowed? They're a pretty good run defense. But the pessimist would say, well, nobody's tried to run on them because they just throw on them all the time. So is this a good run defense, or do we know yet?
We don't know yet. We haven't had a team that's came in and said, we're going to run the ball on you guys. Everybody's feeling pretty good about throwing the ball up and down the field. So, and we even look at the Seahawks, too. We're feeling pretty good. You know, Russell is great, but still, again, we are throwing the ball a lot. So you just got to say, this is a quarterback league. We want to see our quarterbacks out there throwing the ball up and down the field. So I think it's just a process. And once you get into the deep of the season, now you're going to start seeing teams start trying to do things. But right now, they got to put that fire out. You know, that's what coaches always tell us. If you get beat on a stunt, the next team's going to do the same thing. So every team that comes in here we play against is going to feel pretty good about throwing the ball up and down the field. So they just got to try to put that fire out where now you can see if a team's going to say, now we got to run the ball and try to run on these guys.
Hall of Famer Walter Jones' weekly conversation with us. Are they throwing it too much, Walt? I mean, you're an O-lineman. You like to maul the defensive lineman into the ground running the football. Are they throwing it too much?
Well, you know what? I think it's one of those situations where now you have to start, you know, you have to be a coach and try to make a decision, because if we continue to keep being in these games where whoever got the ball last, that's not going to play in our favor every game, or a guy's not going to throw a pick. Guy's going to go down and make plays. You know, these guys are getting better every week. So now if you're playing in these games where you got to try to outscore guys, or if we get the ball last, I think, you know, in that last drive, even though we scored the touchdown and they want to score a touchdown, but still, again, that just – it just didn't feel like a Pete coach game. You know, you're like, you kind of, we're so accustomed to seeing, knowing what they're going to do. They definitely surprising us as fans on the way that they're throwing the ball and getting the ball in the end zone. But if it's working, and I think if Russell loving it, we let Russell do what he can do, you know, get these wins while we can until teams kind of figure out what the Seahawks are trying to do.
Walter Jones again, courtesy of Skagit's Best Salsa, with us on the air. So they're calling the Dolphin game, I don't know, have no idea who they are. People, I guess, knuckleheads, are calling this a trap game on Sunday. Do you buy that? That this is a trap game for the Hawks on Sunday in Miami?
I know, you know, when I played the game, I totally understand how those games happen. And I think it's more just being prepared. I don't know if it's, I don't think anybody's looking at and saying that Miami can't come in here, we can't go down there and Miami can throw the ball up and down. We know what Fitzpatrick can do. You know, he can throw for 500 yards, but then he can give you five picks. So we hoping we get that guy. But I think everybody know what he can do and know that if he get the time, he can throw the ball. So I think and we got to go down there and be focused. And I think it's going to be a shootout just like all the other games. No lead is safe, I tell you that. You know, no matter what the score is going into the fourth quarter, it seemed like these teams are finding ways to put points on the board and make it an interesting game.
Oh, yeah. God, that was funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
This guy's funny, doesn't even know it. He could throw five touches, throw five picks as well at the same time. Walt, you're a funny guy, you know that?
He's exactly right, hey, too, fine. About he can be Fitzmagic or he can be Fitztragic. Walter Jones joining us. Why are the offenses so far ahead, Walt? Well, we're seeing shootouts in almost every single NFL game this year.
I don't know, because usually, you know, the defense is one, you know, you watch preseason games and stuff like that, and the defenses always seem like they're ahead of the offense. But now, and I think it has to do with the quarterback, the plays of the quarterback. The quarterbacks are playing good, and these games to them are all just like practice now. You're not dealing with the crowd noise. You're not, You know, most of the time when you look at these games, the offense is on the line of scrimmage with 20 seconds left and it's on the clock, and now they're making checks and pouring and stuff. Now you're seeing all this stuff happening, and now you're seeing all these quarterbacks out here making the right checks. So now they don't have that pressure of get the play in the huddle, get to make sure these guys can take a deep breath. And now with these elite quarterbacks, this league is built for these guys to put up types of numbers that they're putting up.
Walter Jones with us. I want you to answer the question I asked Jackson and Dick last segment. We'll discuss this, guys, at 5:45. In your opinion, Walter, the MVP, literally the most valuable player in the NFL, who is more valuable to his team, Patrick Mahomes to Kansas City or Russell Wilson to the Seahawks?
You know, that's like apples to apples. I don't know. That's a hard one there because.
You want a minute to think about it? I can put you on hold for a second. We actually have music, man.
I would say, you know, for me personally, I think everybody, you know, you have to say Mahomes because that with the things that he's able to do. You know, I wouldn't take him over Russell, but I would say more valuable to their team. I think if they lose Mahomes down there in Kansas City, I think everything go to crap quick. You know, I think here with Russell, I think we can always go back to our running game. So I think we can kind of maybe survive if we lose Russell for a couple of games. But I think I don't even know who the backup is in Kansas City, but still, I don't think that quarterback can throw the ball like Mahomes can. So I think if they lose, you know, they didn't give him a lot of money, so. If he goes down, I think that team is not going to be as good as they are.
Speaking of the Chiefs, you saw who got a touchdown pass. Left tackle Eric Fisher last night caught a touchdown pass, Walt. I know I was looking at your Hall of Fame stats, and there's a zero under the touchdown line, but was there ever a play practiced or maybe even called in the huddle that wasn't open where Walter Jones, big number 71, was supposed to haul in a touchdown pass?
You know what? When y'all talked to Holmgren this week, you asked him that question. What happened with that? When we used to do goal line and short yardage and stuff, I used to always say, "Coach, hey, all these tackles. I think Jonathan Ogden caught a touchdown pass. A lot of these tackles have caught touchdown passes." And I was like, "Hey, Coach, I need a touchdown on my resume before this thing is over with." You know, he came up to me. He said, "Walt, if I move you anywhere else from the left tackle in the game, everybody gonna know what's going on." So. That's kind of how I got stuck for not getting a touchdown pass while I was playing with Coach Holmgren.
That's ridiculous. You know what? We're going to hammer him.
We're going to hammer him for you, Walt.
You have to.
We're going
to
thump him on Thursday just for you on the radio show. You won't even know what hit him for crying out loud. All right, Walter. Listen, great stuff, man. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and we'll talk in a week, pal. Appreciate this, dude.
Thanks, Walt.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Well, you bet. Walter Jones, courtesy of Skagit's Best Salsa. Well, it's just, for me, still, I remember doing interviews with this guy outside the Kirkland facility back in the day, and if you would have told me sitting there on the deck outside the media room in the mid-90s that Walter Jones would be, number one, doing a radio show every week with us, mm-hmm. number two, doing commercials on television, and number three, be funny as hell.
TV post-game show.
I would have said, did he have an operation or something? Like, what are you talking about? Like, some kind of transformation?
It's
unbelievable, man. This guy has come out of his shell big time, and all of us are the better for it. It is great. And he's so Seattle, right? He's all 206 now. He's got a place in Bama. His mom lives down there as well, but he is all Seattle, and he's all 206. So apparently there's a little disagreement here about Mahomes versus Wilson. I think it's a pretty easy answer, but I'm only one of three here on the show. Who was more valuable to his team? Patrick Mahomes to the Chiefs or Russell to the Hawks? Next on 950.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.